Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Gimel, and we need to briefly think about where it is that we are holding and what it is that we've achieved so far in understanding of our Mishnah. So yesterday we went through the 10 different items that the Rambam explains in the Lashon of the Pasuk, in which he shows us how it is that every word of that pasuk teaches us another issue about understanding the nature of a get. And then we went into our Mishnah, which seems to discuss some minor takona. And that is that if somebody sends a get with a shliach, and that shliach brings this get in, he has to say, exactly who he has to say it to, does he have to say it to Bezdin, a full Bezdin? That we're going to discuss. But he has to say, b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. We're trying to figure out, we started yesterday with our quest to understand why in the world it's necessary for him to say, b'fanai nechtam, specifically where it's coming from chutzvaretz. What in the world would be the meaning of such a takan? And we had a very basic, what appeared to be a very basic machloket, and as we go along, we're going to see that it seems to be far less fundamental machlokas than it appeared to be at the beginning. And that is that Rava says, well, since it's very difficult to travel from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to be able to have access to witnesses in the event that there's a challenge to the get, which is called the irur. And therefore, in order to avoid a woman being caught in a position where the husband claims that he never actually gave this get, so because of that, she has to have some type of backing. So the backing would be the fact that this shliach has said, I am well aware of the fact that this is all a kosher get, was signed in front of me, it was written in front of me, and everything is A-okay. Now, why in the world we would believe one shliach where normally we need Adim, that's not at all clear, but we'll talk about that later. Rabbah says, no, the problem over here has nothing to do with the witnesses. The problem has to do with the fact that since it's being brought from Chutz La'aretz, so people there are ignorant. And therefore, we're worried that maybe the get was written actually Shelo Lishma. And because of that, we want the shliach to say that he knows for a fact that it was written and signed in front of him. Okay, now yesterday we said, what good is it for a single shliach to say that it was written in front of him if he's only an eid echad? So we said that the reason is because normally the din is that we would go baser rov. And since rov of the gittim that are written by Sefrei de Dayanim, even at Saruba de Ruba, if it's written by Sefrei Dayanim, they for sure know what the din is. And therefore, we don't really have to worry about it because we would have believed the rov. And therefore, we would have normally not have to need to know that it was written Lishma. So this was a special takana d'Rabbanan. Rabbanan wanted to make sure about the Lishma. And therefore, once the Rabbanan said that you need to have a knowledge of Lishma, they relied on the Shliach, which we'll discuss in a moment. Now what's very important to note is why the Rabbanan would make a takana in which they're going to rely on the Shliach if be'etzem they're relying on the Rov. Because otherwise we wouldn't be able to believe the Shliach. So what exactly are they worried about that makes them consider that the Rov is not enough to rely on? Now Rashi said that the thing that bothers them is that maybe a get had been written to someone else in the city and had been written properly as a get, but it was Lishma of someone else. Someone who had the same name as this particular husband and who is married to a woman with the same name as this particular husband. Now, in that event, there would be an obvious psul of Shelo Lishma, We don't even have to go so far as to say we're afraid it would be found in a garbage pail, because maybe everybody knows that that's not considered to be a get at all, because it wasn't even written as a get. Forget about the din of Lishma. But over here, a man may figure that, well, I mean, it was written for a get, and it was written for a woman with the same name, and it's got my name, and therefore is written for a man with the same name. Why couldn't I use it? So that would be a problem of the general populace not understanding that there's a din of lishma. It wouldn't be a problem of the sofer hadayanim. And therefore, in order to avoid that particular issue, says Rashi, because of that the Rabbanan made the gezerah, let's just get around that problem. Okay, we'll talk in a moment why Tosfos doesn't like that, and how in introducing a completely new issue, he's actually providing us a new key to the understanding of the sugya. But let's stick with Rashi for a moment and review what we know. So therefore, we're talking about a problem in which now we need to worry about maybe somebody actually had a get that was shelo lishma and thought that that's not a problem. And so this shliach is going to be neman together with the fact that stam gitim arit lishma and so on. Okay, so then the question is, why exactly are we satisfied with just this one guy? Well, because since the whole thing is only a takana derabanan, we did not want to make it difficult for a woman to be able to work this problem out. I mean, what if a shliach comes and he's only one shliach and it's the only way that she could get her get? I mean, what are we going to do? She's going to end up without a get because we didn't have two people traveling from Timbuktu to bring her a get. So because of that, they made life easier on a woman. And remember that we had that sugya very much. And earlier we spoke about it in Yevomis and in Ksuvis, that bipnei iguna akilu barabon. There's a general claw. The Rabbanan want to make it easier for a woman to not be caught in a position where she cannot have a get. Now, continues the Gemara yesterday. This is an extremely sensitive transition. So please let's pay full attention, because it's here that we're going to have a distinction between Rashi's approach and Tosfos's approach. Says the Gemara, but you're ending up making life tougher for this woman. Why am I ending up making life tougher? Well, what happens now if a husband comes along and he says, I found this by a friend's house and bought it off of him? Is that what he's going to say? Or he's going to say, I never gave this get. Now, according to Rashi, the problem is that suddenly we're worried about the fact that the husband is going to show up and he's going to challenge the get. Now, we weren't worried about that before, gentlemen, because if we were worried about that before, that would essentially be taking us into Rava's territory, out of Rava's territory. Isn't that true? Rava is the one who says that the reason that we need the shliach to say b'fanai nechtam b'fanai nechtam is simply because if there is a challenge to the get brought by the husband, the woman has to be able to defend herself, and she'll defend herself with this shliach, right? So that meant that when Rabba said that the problem is lishma, he was not taking into consideration, let's protect the woman. That was Rabba's approach. Rabba wasn't worried about not being able to get Aiden, because why would I need Aiden? I have a kosher get. Because normally, if you have a contract that's signed, as long as there's no problem in a court and nobody's being our heir, there's no challenge, the contract is a perfectly reliable contract. So the fact that we're worried all of a sudden is a little bit strange. You're calling this, says the Gemara, this is a kula? No, you're making life harder for her, because what happens if the Baal does come along? And Rabba doesn't say, I was never worried about that. Instead, what he answers is, let's see it inside once again. Mishumiguna akilu barabona. Ask the Gemara, but this is not a kula. It turns out to be a chumra, because you could have made life easier on a woman by insisting that we have two witnesses. And if there would be two shluchim, imitztrachta leitrei, then you would be protecting her from the irur habal. And like this, if you only have one, so now if chad, ati baluma araposele, the Baal could come along and mess her up. And therefore, why weren't you mitaken two. Now, the question is, can he really mess her up? We'll talk about that in a moment, whether he would be believed against the one. But in any event, gentlemen, what this means is, answers the Gemara, because in this case, since we said that the shliach has to come and report this not to the person that he's giving the get to, he has to report it in front of maybe even a full bezdin of three, but at least in front of two people, and he's going to be basically in the hot seat. They're going to ask him questions. And he needs to be able to be very clear about what he's saying, because if it turns out afterwards that the Baal comes along and challenges him, and he cannot, the Baal will say, nah, this guy didn't see anything here, and he could turn him into looking like a liar and a fool. So therefore, this shliach is going to protect himself by being absolutely sure about the fact that, sir, you're absolutely sure you want me to deliver this get? Yes, 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 100%. And he sees it's all done, and he's going to be able to say, I watched the sofer. The entire thing was done properly. It was written by a sofer. It was signed in front of me, and everything was on the up, and the husband told me 100% he wanted to give this get. So therefore, if the husband would walk in, first of all, analyze, says Rabbah, what are the chances that under those kind of circumstances, a husband would challenge the get when he's already made it very clear to someone who asked him, you sure you want to give this get? Yes, absolutely. And now what? He's going to come into court and say, no, I never wanted to give this get. It's a fake. And I mean, it's highly unlikely. So that itself is 90% of a protection to the woman. But even more is that in the event that he would challenge it, we wouldn't accept his challenge. That's the point. So therefore, since Kivan Diyamamab, if they come a note to Nola, how many people have to be present in the standing of the Shliach handing over the get and saying B'fanai Nichtam, B'fanai Nichtam? One man Diyamar, between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, one man Diyamar says, two people are enough. The other one says, no, you need the full bezdin of three people. So obviously he's going to be very careful. He knows that this is not casual. It's something that he's going to be called to task for. And therefore, lo atilu ruya nafshe. And therefore, as Rashi says, even if the Baal would be ma'arer, we wouldn't listen to him. We'd say, this is ridiculous. We know that this is not the situation. Because once again, remember, we're relying on the fact that we have a kosher shtar and that we have a rov that tells us that there's actually a right to rely on this get. And therefore, your challenge, even though if it wouldn't be for this guy, we might have considered it, your challenge is nonsensical. So therefore, it turns out that according to Rabbah, we are taking into consideration two issues now. Number one, we've handled the ir or habal, because once we needed to handle the question of lishma, the Gemara claims that Rabbah has already obviated Rava Svara. And Rabbah is saying, in doing that, we have also protected the woman. Now, that makes it even more problematic. So why the heck would Rava not accept this approach? Since Memela, it protects the woman in the same way that he said that Takana was to protect the woman, it's really odd that he doesn't agree with Rabbah. We're going to ask that. But the question becomes more complex, according to Tosfos. Tosfos points out that to say that the husband perhaps found a friend who has a get with the same name and the same woman, that, says Tosfos, is ridiculous. Because in the event that there was such a person, then they never would have been able to be given a get like that. Because the halacha is that if the sofrei hadayanim checked the phone book, there used to be this thing that was called a phone book, I'm sure you're too young to remember that, in which people had these big things that they were able to use to call. They somehow or other never had chips with them or something. I don't know what it was. Something about the Middle Ages. But anyway, so they had this big machine and it had this number that was assigned to you. It was an incredible thing. And so they used to have these big gigantic books. I mean, there were millions of people with these things. Big gigantic book, this thick. And then the sofrei hadayanim would have to open up the book, see if there's anybody of that name. And remarkably, when you opened up that book, you would usually find 50 people with the same name of the guy that you were looking for. So you'd also have to know the address. Now, these were special telephone books that included the name of his wife, you see, which many of them did anyway. Joe Schmo and Margaret Altman, right? Okay. So therefore, the chauffeur would know, but there's somebody else in the phone book with this name, so how can I give a get where there'd be no way for anybody to know if it's this Joe Schmo or that Joe Schmo? Joe Schmo, of course, is very nogea Chag HaShavuos because of Rabbi Yossi, who said, Har BeYossi Ike B'Shuka. That's the point. So this is part of our Hachon on Yom Yerushalayim for Chag HaShavuos that comes up. Now, therefore, says Tosfos, Rashi's chashash is unreasonable. We would never think such a thing. Because a get like that would be puzzle. Therefore, says Tosfos, the most amazing thing. The point is that he may have found it in a garbage pail. And he knows that it was not written as a get. But the husband may actually come to court and say, I had no idea that you had to write a get lishma. I'm just a regular guy. I'm sure the sofer knew, but he didn't write this as a get. He wrote it to practice how to write. So I picked it out of the garbage can, and I thought that that would be fine. Now, that would be an error. What are we going to do about that kind of error? Therefore, according to Rabbah, we're directly addressing, get this, the whole point of the takana of b'fanai nechtav, which includes lishma, according to Rabbah, is to avoid the error of the Baal that it wasn't lishma, which means that Rabbah is literally going out to protect the woman as the whole point, because we really have no chashash of lishma at all. We're only worried about the error lishma. Now, this makes Rabbah and Rava almost precisely the same. They're both interested in protecting the woman against an ir'ur. According to Rabbah, that ir'ur would be an ir'ur of lishma. So mimela, we include the b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtav in terms of a gezerah of lishma, which it really isn't, because we don't have any real chashash that it would be not lishma, but we want to avoid the ir'ur of the baal of lishma. Now you understand that this means that what appeared ostensibly to be this vast machlokas about whether chashina lishma or chashina for ein eden etzim l'kaimo, according to what Tosfos is learning, basically boils down almost to the same issue, other than the fact that Rabbah takes much better care. Because, I mean, Rav is just a question of a general challenge. Rabbah is including, once we're going to be dealing with a challenge, let's include the fact that the challenge may come specifically through lishma, and Mamela would be addressing the broader challenge. So Rabbah seems to be much more in tune with the nature of the Gezerah here. It's much more effective, right? This would be the difference between Rashi and Tosfos. And as you can see, things are starting to close. The gap between Rabbah and Rava is closing. And it's going to keep closing. And very rapidly, we're going to be stuck with trying to figure out, so what really is the difference? Okay, but we had those differences that we had yesterday, that we spoke about. We gave examples of three differences between Rabbah and Rava, with the very fact that there may be difficulty in getting witnesses. I mean, according to Rabbah, if the problem is only lishma, then that would not be sufficient for us to trigger. At least that's what it sounded like. Of course, we could ask Rabbah, but Rabbah, if you're worried about Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, if you're worried about an Iur Habal, so then why are you only worried about lishma? Why aren't you worried about an Iur Habal and therefore take into consideration that there are no Eidim? Guess what's going to happen in the end? Oh my God. What's going to happen in the end is that the Gemara is going to say, well, we never said that Rabbah didn't agree with Rava. Of course he agrees with Rava. He's giving you more of a reason. So things are really going to get tight as we go on. But okay, let's uncover this step by step. Now, the question, of course, is, all right, if the issue is lishma, so we didn't incorporate that lishma in what it is that the shliach said. I mean, so how do we know that he's going to talk about the lishma? So as Rashi explained before, this is going to trigger our asking him, well, you saw it written, sir. Did you see it written lishma? and so on and so forth. So then you should say so. Okay, the Gemara will deal with this question momentarily. Now, let's take a look at Rava and see that we have to go through exactly the same agonizing when it comes to Rava. Ask the Gemara. Ula Rava, diyomar lefisha ein edim mitzuyim lekaimo. If your problem is not having edim, then why don't we need two shluchim? Why is it enough to have one shliach? I mean, normally, if you want to go ahead and be mekayim ashtar, then how do you do kiyam ashtar? Well, you bring it into the court, and either the actual dayanim recognize the signatures and they sign on that, that's called the henpek, or you get two witnesses for each one of these signatures, or that recognize could be the same two witnesses, but two witnesses have to recognize the signatures of the witnesses in order to confirm that this is indeed their signature. Well, if that's what you're concerned with, then what good is having one shliach? I mean, the one shliach is not going to do it for you if, in fact, the husband would come to Bima Arer, so then she would need to back up her get with two witnesses as to the signature, correct? What's even worse is that how do we even know that the shliach knows that it's the signature? He doesn't know that it's the signature. This was Tosfos' question yesterday on Rashi, who says that the difference is if you have two shluchim, so then it would mean that you don't need to say b'fanai nechta b'fanai nechtam. How do you know that he would possibly know anything about it? Remember, Tosfos asked that question yesterday and had, therefore, a different shot in Da'at Yuhu Betray, and therefore, he understands the At Yuhu Betray to be that it's not because of anything to do with the Ne'amonis on the witnesses. It has to do with simply the fact that then we have two witnesses that said that the Baal told us to deliver it, and that would be the same as a Baal giving a get, and if a Baal gives a get, he can't be Ma'arer afterwards, that's all, and therefore she's protected without needing to go through any of this. Now, gentlemen, before, and when I say gentlemen, of course I include ladies. We don't want anybody to get insulted around here. It's just not exactly a woke daf yomi, so we won't say ladies and gentlemen. All right, so now the question is, it's important for us to understand that a get is not a shtar like other shtarot. Obviously, when you have a normal shtar, the shtar is acting as testimony. When you have a get, the get is an actual active shtar, meaning that it is a performative shtar. It creates the gerushin. It doesn't just attest to the gerushin. That's the only reason that we can have all these extra dinim. I mean, I understand. If all I need to have is a proof of the fact of divorce, then obviously it's a little ridiculous to say that that would have to be lishma. Why would it have to be lishma? I just wrote down what I know about the situation. I have to write it l'shem the isha. What we're talking about over here, all of these special rules about the get, are because the get is two things. The get is fundamentally that which achieves the gerushin, and that is Vika Tavla Sefer Kritut. But it also serves as a proof to the gerushin in the event that the Baal makes trouble for his wife. So it is serving in two different functions. It furthermore serves as proof of divorce in order to be able to collect the ketuvah from him, where she can come into court and she can say, look, I'm a divorcee. He does not have any kind of proof that he paid me off my ksuva. I want to collect my ksuva. Remember, we talked about that in ksuvas, that she can collect the ksuva based on the get. So the get has a lot of functions. What we've been talking about up until now in Rabbah is two things. Rabbah is addressing the get as performative by saying that it was written lishma. And he's also making it possible for the woman to use the get as proof of divorce because the husband will not be ma'ir. So this is important to note, that another difference between Rava and Rava is that Rava does not seem to be dealing with the performative aspects of the shtar at all. He's only dealing with the question of whether this is a suitable proof for divorce in the event that a husband attacks a get, right? Okay. So let's keep that in mind as we continue. As you can see, the further we go in here, the more complex and yet the more clear it is what the issues are that we have to deal with. And that's why this is one of those amazing sugyas in which it's almost like watching a Polaroid print. You get this general idea in the beginning, and as you keep, again, there used to be a thing called a Polaroid print. I know, you know the old story of the doctor, the ear doctor, where the patient was complaining of tinnitus, and the doctor asks him, this is a patient report, the doctor asks him, so what does it sound like? And I said, it sounds like a watch ticking. And the doctor said, what does that sound like? So now the doctors are too young to remember what a watch sounds like that's ticking. So yes, there used to be this little thing called a Polaroid print where the camera would actually squeeze chemicals over a film and then it would gradually show the picture. Now, as you watch the picture, you would see it becoming more and more clear as the process continued. Well, this is what's going on over here. We're learning it. We get a general sense as we first pour our minds over it. And then as we pour with the other lashon of pour over it, we end up getting a clearer and clearer picture as we go along. I had to do that because otherwise you know what would have happened. So sometimes you have to make sure that in advance that you're not going to be interrupted. All right. It was a very special day anyway because I had Gavi already supporting me just in case. It was one of these just-in-case days. All right. So now our question is that according to Rava, since the whole point over here is that we're trying to turn this into a proof, the ketuvah needs to also serve as a regular shtar that is testimony to the fact that she was divorced, quite aside from the fact that it did the divorce. But if that's true, and we're worried about Einim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, the only way to be Mekayim a shtar in court is to have two witnesses on each signature. Well, what good is it to take the place of the requirement for those two witnesses by having a single person come along and say, B'fanai nechtav v'fanai nechtam? How does that handle the problem of Ein Edim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo? This is a devastating question. I mean, according to Rabbah, the problem wasn't that we need Aiden. It was just we need to make sure that this performative ksuva was written properly. That's the main concern. At least he pretended it was. But according to Rava, if the main concern is the proof of the fact of divorce, it's like any other contract. You need two witnesses that are going to say that the signatures are correct signatures. I'm so confused. Then why don't we say, if Ein Edim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, Liboy Trey? I mean, isn't that the din all over the Torah? Mitad Avyakim Shtarot Da'alma? And so we go through the same agonizing that we went through with Rava. First, we attempt to say, well, Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Yisurin. So therefore, we have a single witness that is telling us this was a kosher gerishin, and therefore, that's all we need to show, is a kosher get. Excuse me? As we said, where we don't have Ischazak Yisura, but over here, Ischazak Yisura, the Eishas Ish, and remember those Rishonim we spoke about yesterday, that changed the Girsi here and put a Vav in front of the next word, plus, not to mention the fact that this is even worse than the normal din of we believe two witnesses. Over here, the Torah says, don't believe anything less than two witnesses, because this is a davar sheb'erva, ve'in davar sheb'erva pachot mishnayim, and therefore remember that we learn out that davar, davar, ki matzah b'erva davar, we learn out davar, davar, z'gzera shava, from al pishnayim edim yakum davar. So how the heck could you tell me that the Rabbanan, what do you mean we're going to believe one shliach? That's crazy. Ah, but what you're forgetting, says Rava, is that bedinu debekim shtarot nami loli boy, a shtar does not need testimony at all. A shtar is testimony, and it's absurd to require testimony about testimony, because as Reish Lakish pointed out, the Amar Reish Lakish, edim achatumim al shtar nasu kemi shenechkara edutan bebeit din. The nature of a shtar is that it stands as the two witnesses, as if it had already gone through cross-interrogation in Besdin. And therefore, we only need to confirm that, because the Besdin, the Rabbanan, they said, look, Rabbanan said, let's make extra sure that a shtar is what it appears to be. Let's get a kiyum of these signatures. So then, if that's the case, hacha mishum iguna akilo barabbanan. So the Rabbanan agreed that in this case, let's go with the single shliach, and that single shliach is going to say that I know. Now listen, gentlemen, this is a very important point that's going to turn out to be critical. Suppose the single shliach would have turned up and said, oh, I recognize the witnesses. Did the Rabbanan say that a single person is believed in this case for the kiyum of the ketuvah? Says Tosfos, absolutely not. The whole point is that we created this gigantic rigmarole of saying b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam, which therefore puts the shliach on the spot, which makes him specifically reliable in this case to confirm the get. But if he just came along and said, well, I want to be Mekayim the Shtar and I know the witnesses, we'd say, well, where's the other guy who knows the witnesses? We're not going to believe one guy to say he knows the witnesses. So therefore, we made this special takana. This is how Tosfos understands the whole Gemara. We made a special takana that in this case, believe it or not, we're going to accept the witness as if we had a kiyum. But it is not a kiyum. It's better than a kiyum. He may not know anything about these witnesses, and nonetheless, he confirms the validity of the get. That's the point. All right. Now, we're going to see that Rashi doesn't agree with that, but let's meanwhile continue. So therefore, says Rava, in this case, we believe this guy. But why don't we need to? Because of the kula, the same question. It's not a kula, it's a chumrah. Because if we would need to, that would have knocked out the Iur HaBaal. And this way, chad osibal ma'aru pasale, and he gives the same answer. Kima diomar mar b'fnei kama notnola, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, chadam mar b'fnei shnayim, v'chadam mar b'fnei shlosha. The shliach is going to be very careful because he's in the hot seat and mikora midak dayik velo ati liruye nafshe. And therefore, we're both agreed, both Rabba and Rava are agreed that this is a special situation that is based on the shliach being in a hot seat. And it's because of that, that he's going to be able to protect the woman from the irur. Both of them agreed to that. And the only difference is that according to Rabbah, we also took into consideration the fact that there might be a pegam of lishma, or according to Tosfos, there might be a specific irur that was nogea lishma, and we've dealt with that directly. So it turns out that Rava and Rabbah are using exactly the same logic. The uniqueness of the shliach to be able to take the place of whatever it is that would normally be required. So in the case of Rava, normally we would need a kiyum. Over here, we won't need that kiyum because of the shliach being in the hot seat. According to Rava, besides normally needing a kiyum, we would have originally thought to be machmir that we should be able to be absolutely certain that it was written lishma. Like this, we're going to rely on the rov plus the fact that the shliach is in the hot seat. So they turn out to be saying something very, very similar. In which case, the question is that if we've got the same basic idea, why wouldn't Rava handle both things by saying, like Rava? I mean, Rava has taken into consideration every concern of Rava, right? He has shown that we're protecting the woman. There cannot be an irur. We don't have to worry, therefore, about needing to prove the get. Plus, we're even making certain that it's been done lishma. So, I mean, isn't that a much more broad interpretation of the takana? Befanai nechtam v'befanai nechtam. What bothers Rava about what Rava is saying? So therefore asks the Gemara, so why doesn't Rava go all the way? The Rava, my time, alo amar ki Rava. Says Rava, it's very simple, my dear friend. If the entire point of the takana is to assure lishma, how do you account for the fact that it doesn't include that word, for God's sake? If we're going to make a takana about lishma, should we not have it say, b'fanai nechtav lishma? And b'fanai nechtav lishma? I mean, you can't leave out the main point of the takana, can you? So therefore, it obviously is not about lishma. I don't know what Rav is talking about. I mean, he's telling me there's a theoretical better takana. Well, that's very nice, but nobody ever made that takana because they didn't say so. And therefore, it's outrageous to me. You can't make a takana and then not mention it. So, amalacha mikatani b'fanei nechtav lishma, b'fanei nechtav lishma. Right? It's pure imagination. V'rabba. Now, Rabba gives the most incredible excuse for why it doesn't say lishma. And he says, well, the truth is it should say lishma. But if you're going to have a guy needing to say b'fanei nechtav lishma, and b'fanai nechtam lishma, remember, all of the takanas that we make are takanas for dummies. Why? Because you always have to worry about dummies. And therefore, if I would have made a takana that a shliach is supposed to say, b'fanai nechtam lishma, very likely, now forget that last word. Oh, yeah, that was important, was it? No, probably not. So, b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam. Yeah, that he'll say. But if you add the word lishma, you're making things worse, because there you're including a new problem. Wait a minute, gentlemen, when that guy brought the shtar, did he say b'fanai nechtav lishma? He said something, isn't it? Okay, so we want to avoid a situation like that. So therefore, what we'll do is, we'll only have him say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, and that way, we'll find out about the lishma, and the shliach will have done all of his research, because he's going to be in a hot seat. We'll end up asking him about the lishma. That's safer than ruining a get by insisting that it's not a good get unless he says three words. So the fact is, says Rabba, b'dinu de lisnayachi, it should say lishma. But if you make him say lishma, otila megazia, he may leave out that word. Well, wait a minute. I mean, so now you're making him say two words. Maybe he'll leave out one of the two words. No, says Rabba, no. The person, one word out of three, he'll leave out. One word out of two, he won't leave out. So that goes together, b'fanai nechtav, which, of course, as the Rashash points out, is the reason that you have to say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. Why can't you just say b'fanai nechtav u'nechtam? Because then it would be three words. So like this, there's two words that he says about two separate issues, so he's not going to end up getting mixed up. But if you tell the dummy to say three words, he'll only say two words. Okay, so now things are becoming clearer, and this is what it is that Rabba says. So now, but if that's the case, I mean, if you're not going to be saying the lishma, and you're only going to be relying on the question, and especially according to Tosfos, who explains that the whole problem is, even according to Rabba, the possibility of the Irur Habal that's going to focus on his finding a get and thinking it was kosher because he didn't know about lishma, so then why the heck doesn't Rabba just come along and say like Rava? And say, look, obviously there's no takana about lishma. This is perfectly well explained by the very fact that we need to protect the woman from Irur. So we had the guy say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, to take the place of the kiyum. El ro'i yesh v'cha yad shama. Ha'im b'kavanatcha l'shol she'ela? Im chiyuch gadol or im chiyuch benoni? Ah, it's beseder.
Lama, yesh shela, lama lo mechayvim oto lomar et kol b'fanai nechtav lishma, v'im hu yishkach, az beidin yishalu oto, im zeh lishma.
Bevadai, hem yecholim lishol oto, aval abaya hi, sheberega shalachnu kovim eizeshi hanhaga, hanhaga hofechet liyot min mantra kazeh. כן? אנשים חושבים שהם אומרים את זה ועכשיו הכל טוב. אז זה הרבה יותר מסוכן ממה שמתברר בסופו של דבר בצורה טבעית, אם מישהו מדבר, אז אנחנו מדברים איתו, שואלים אותו. אבל ככה, ייתכן שלא שמנו לב, ושהוא לא ידע מה שהוא צריך להגיד, ועשינו כבר את הסימון, כן, כן, הוא עבר את השלב הזה של לפני נכתב, לפני נכתב, עכשיו בוא נדבר על משהו אחר. זה פשוט יותר מסוכן. So now the question is, why not just go right in and say like Rava? It seems more likely, if we're going to be leaving out the word Lishma anyway, so then it's likely that the whole thing is only for the protection, and therefore forget about Lishma. No, because, says Rava, then why the heck does it say Bifanai Nechtav? Why doesn't it just say Bifanai Nechtam? If the point of this is to prevent an irur, and therefore it's essentially making it unnecessary to be mekayim the shtar, which only has to do with the signature, right? Has nothing to do with how it was written. So why would the shliach have to say how it was written? What do you mean, how is it written? I don't know how it's written. I'm just coming here to present something that's signed. Obviously, we're worried about the writing being done properly. Well, what does that mean? In terms of the proof, you don't need the writing to be done properly. It's only in terms of the performative get that you need the writing to be done properly, and therefore it must have to do with the Shema. Aha! So both Rava and Rava have strong indications to their approach to what's going on, right? What's Rava going to do about this? I mean, how the heck can you explain that we make this takana to say b'fadai nechtav if it really is not a concern of ours how it was written? We didn't even think of that. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, I mean, we thought about it a little bit, right? Because according to the way Tosfos was learning, the only reason that we believed the one witness here and didn't require two witnesses was because he was in the hot spot to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. So we could have thought that the reason that we have to say b'fanai nechtav is simply to make life harder for the shliach so that he would need to be more medayek, and that way we could believe him more. That way he's more in the hot spot. Sir, you said you saw the entire thing, but we have an indication that you walked in only at the time of the, oh God. All right. So he's going to make perfectly good, make absolutely certain that he knows what he's saying. That's a possibility. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say that as the possible answer is indicative of the fact that it isn't the answer. And therefore Rashi, in fact, doesn't believe that, as we'll see in a moment. But let's talk about that. So Rava says, the Gemara, the reason that the Rabbanim made this takana in that fashion is the truth is, let's just see it inside. All you need to have is b'fanai nechtam and nothing else. For too low. Why the heck are you talking about b'fanai nechtam? Lomali. Shema mina b'ina nishma. That's the only explanation. And how does Rava explain this? Rava says, look, the truth is, that's all that it should have said. The takana was really only focused on the b'fanai nechtam. But let me ask you something. Suppose we would have said that. Then people would say, well, what do you know? One guy brought that get, and he said b'fanai nechtam, and they believed him, and now they say that protects the woman from irur. Well, I guess what that means is that when you need to confirm a get, a normal get, meaning a shtar, with I made a loan, I don't need two witnesses for the signatures. I need only one guy saying that he recognizes the signatures, because I saw even a get of a woman, they accepted one signature. So for sure, I mean, for my little $100 loan, I mean, for sure, one witness would be sufficient to confirm the signatories, right? And of course, no, not right. And therefore, people will get confused, says Rava. So just in order to make it clear that this is not a typical Kiyum Hashtar, but it's a special new deal, we throw in, Mr. Shliach, you also have to say B'fanai Nechtav. But why? No reason. Just to make it clear that you're not only saying B'fanai Nechtav. Well, could I also say that my license comes from Sri Lanka? No, you have to say b'fanai nechtav. But it doesn't have any more meaning than saying that my license comes from Sri Lanka. Okay. So this is, again, we've got this very odd situation. So therefore, bedinu de lishne achi, ela de imke nati lichlufi bekim shtoros bi'alma be'ed echad, people will get confused. Says Rava, what do you mean people will get confused? I mean, look, there's some things for dummies, but there are other things for the dumbest of the dummies. Now, how could anybody get confused, for God's sake? I mean, in this case, me dummy? You got somebody who's this dummy? I don't think that's what it means. It's not similar is what it means. It's not similar to Kiyum Shtoros Pa'alma. Why? Because, look, when you're coming to be Mekayim Ashtar, you say, I recognize these signatures. This guy isn't saying, I recognize these signatures. He's saying it was signed in front of me. What does that have to do with Kiyum Shtarot? If we ask him, very nice, it was signed in front of you. Do you know that the person who signed is the person who claimed to be? No, I have no idea. So I don't care. So you'd have to say Yadinan. So, and in this case, you don't even say Yadinan. So what, how is somebody going to think this is Kiyum Shtarot? It's not Kiyum Shtarot. And furthermore, in the case of a Kiyum Shtarot, do you have to say Befanai? No, here you say Befanai. Suppose a woman would come as a witness to Kiyum Shtarot, which I'm sorry, we need kosher witnesses. So we would not accept her testimony. Over here, if a woman says, Bifanai nechtav, Bifanai nechtam, and she is the shlicha, she's perfectly okay as a shlicha. What's even more amazing is if a man gives his wife a get, and he says, now look, I'm not giving you this get now. I am giving you this get to present to such and such a Beis Din in your hometown, and they should then deliver the get for me to you. That is perfectly okay. But then she's a shliach holacha. And then she has to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam about her own get. So would you accept a person's testimony? Well, I'm the guy that the get that the shtar says is owed $100, and I testify to the fact that these edim are kosher edim. What are you, crazy? We're worried about this being a fake, and you're telling us it's not a fake, so that's going to be proof? Get out of here. But over here, the Baal Dover is believed. So obviously, you'd have to be insane to think that this is the same as Kiyum Shtarot. Ah! Nonsense, says Rava. And Rava, that's a pretty good point. I mean, how dummy could the dummy be, right? That he's going to think that this is dummy to Kiyum Shtarot B'Alma. Ah, but Rava has a comeback. My comeback is that, look, Rava Amalekha, suppose a guy would walk in. Now here, we get back to the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos that's based on the issue that I brought forth to you. Suppose a guy would walk in, and instead of saying, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, he would say, I recognize the signature. Wouldn't that be just as good? Because, I mean, since according to you, says Rabbi, you believe that essentially this is supposed to take the place of a Kiyum of Shtar. So if he would say, I know, wouldn't that be just as good as saying it was signed in front of me? It should be even better. Now, Tosfos, of course, does not accept this for a moment, because the only reason we were believing him was because of the big shebang we're making about forcing him to say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. That was the only reason we were accepting one witness. Rashi, however, who never took that into consideration, and as I showed you, the reason he didn't take it into consideration is because then why did the Gemara say, why do you have to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam? It's obviously in order to make the Shriach believable by putting him in the hot seat. But the Gemara doesn't answer that. Therefore, according to Rashi, ein hachinami, if a single person would have said yadinan, meaning not I in the plural, but we, shluchim in general, who would say, we know, in this particular case, one shliach, out of those thousands of shluchim, and he says, I know, that would be sufficient. According to Tosfos, no, when the Gemara says yadinan, it doesn't mean shlichim, no, it means two people come and say yadinan, and it would be a kiyum ashtar, then you wouldn't have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav, so people would think that that's the equivalent, that they're equivalents. That's what it is that is bothering Rava. Okay, but anyway, so therefore, says Rava, in this case, it's possible that people could still get confused because in the event that that's what happened and that people come and say Yadina, and it would have been accepted. So because of that, Ati Lechluthi Bekim Shtoros Be'alma Be'ed Echad. And even though you haven't answered the other thing that is very dummy to dummy, which is the fact that the woman can bring it or she could bring her own, how often does that happen that people are going to know that, you know? But this thing about I recognize the signatures, now that could happen all the time. Therefore, they made this takan. Okay, now, let's get back to Rabbah. Now we have to deal with a very fundamental question. When you say b'fanai nechtav, u'b'fanai nechtam, what you are insisting on, our dear Rabbah, you are insisting that both the writing of the get and the signing of the get, both of them need to be done lishma. Because you're saying that that's the whole point, is we're trying to establish that both the ktiva was lishma and the chatima was lishma. Would you mind telling me who holds that? Where do you get the idea that you need both the writing of the get and the signing of the get to be lishma? I mean, all it says in the Torah is v'kasav lo sefer kritut. So, I mean, sounds like it's referring to the writing of it, you know? I mean, you're saying it's also the signing of it. And what's even more fascinating is that there's a shita who holds that the writing of it is the signing, because that's what turns it into a performative instrument. And since that's what turns it into a performative instrument, it's inclusive. That is the moment that turns it into a get, and that has to be done the Shema. Everything else that you write is irrelevant because it doesn't mean a darn thing until the signature, right? So there's two different ways of looking at this, but you're claiming that you need both, the actual writing and the signing. I want to know who holds that you should say that we made this takana. Please explain to me. L'rabba d'yom ha'lefisha ein b'kin l'shma. Can you tell me who it is? Man ha'itana d'boi k'tiva l'shma, and also is boi chatima l'shma? Because I can tell you one thing. I know that there's a big machlokas about this, but I don't know anybody who holds you need both. I only know the two possibilities, either ktiva or the chatima. So if it's Rebbe Meir is the one who holds all we need is the signature to be done lishma. Because what made this a performative instrument? The signature. Now, by the way, it's not even clear that we need a signature on a get. Because remember, if the guy would have written a get and delivered it in front of Edim, that would be called Ede Misira. Edim that testified to the fact that a get was handed over to a woman. So then would we need witnesses to make it a performative get? Only if you hold Ede Chatima Karte. Now this is a major machlokas which Gavi is really writing down in his list. Ede Misira Karte, or Ede Chatima Karte. Now, Rebbe Meir holds that actually the Vekotavla is a reference specifically to the signature. And it's the signature that turns it into the Kares, into the Sefer Kritut. And we know that he holds that, because that he said Beferish, that you have to be Kasavla, but, and the Chatima. But do we know that he does not agree that you have to also write it? Yes, we do. Here's how we know it. Remember that one of the 10 things were, you cannot have anything between the writing and the delivery, right? So the difference was, if you write the get on a tree, and then you're going to have to cut down the tree, then you're going to have a puzzle get, because it says v'katav v'natan, and you did v'katav v'katachat ha'etz v'natan. The Torah didn't say you could be v'katachat ha'etz. Suppose you give her the whole thing, fine. Now, let me ask you something. You write a get on a tree, but you don't sign it. You cut down the tree. Now you have the witnesses sign on the tree. And then you give it to her. Is that kosher? Well, if the katav la sefer kritut meant the writing, then it's not kosher, because it says v'katav v'natan. But if the v'katav la only meant the signing, then it would be kosher, right? Because who cares that you wrote it while it was a tree in the ground? The only thing that turned it into performative get was the signature, and that was done directly. Ktiva netina. I first cut down the tree, had the witnesses sign it, and then I hand it over. Well, that's exactly what Rebbe Meir holds. If you cut down the tree, and then you signed it, it would be perfectly kosher. And that proves that according to Rabbi Meir, the ketivah is not what the Torah is referring to when it says v'katavla. It's only the chatima that the Torah was referring to. Otherwise, it would be ridiculous to say that it's kosher. It's all very nice that the chatima part was done after cutting down the tree, but the actual ketivah taget wasn't. So you see that Rabbi Meir holds the ketivah is the chatima. Because I Rabbi Meir chatima boy, ketivah lo boy. But suppose you wrote the get on the mechubar lekarka, then you cut down the tree, then you were chatmu, and then you gave it to her, then it's perfectly kosher. We don't want you to do that lekatchila because you might forget and have it actually signed on the tree. But if you didn't and you did it right, it's great. No problemo. So therefore, Rabbi Meir would not say that the katavla has to be lishma. So there goes Rabbi Meir. Now, the other shita in this sugya is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds Ede Misira Karte. He says, you don't need a signature on a get at all. The only reason we have a signature on a get is to make life easier for a woman, because in case the Ede Misira die or leave somewhere, she doesn't know where they are, and then the husband wants to make her life miserable, as husbands do sometimes, and he'll go and claim this is a phony get. So we want you to have signatures on the get so that he can't do that. Because otherwise you're going to be looking around for these people, you know where they are. Fine. But in terms of the performative qualities of the get, you don't need Edim on it at all. So therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, he only needs ketivah. He doesn't need the chatima lishma because the chatima is unimportant. And that, therefore, we're not explaining our mission. Now I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, no, it's true, but that's only midiraisa. But actually, Rabbi Elazar holds that you do need the ketivah lishma, midirabbanan. And therefore, the rabbanan were metakein, b'fanai nichtav, b'fanai nichtam, that both should be lishma. Wrong. I'll prove to you that he doesn't even need midirabbanan, that the ketivah should be lishma, or that the chatima should be lishma. All he needs is that the ketivah should be lishma. And therefore, it makes no sense to say b'fanai nichtav, b'fanai nichtam. Because I Rabbi Elazar ketivah boy chatima lo boy, and don't try to tell me v'chitema, it is Rabbi Elazar, and all he means when chilo boy, Rabbi Elazar chatima lishma, he only means midiraisa, you don't need it. But the Rabbana made a takona that it also has to be lishma, and in the chatima. Not true. Because we're going to have a Mishnah later that talks about three strangely written gittin which violate the dinim that the Rabbanan said you're supposed to do. The Rabbanan said you're supposed to have the date and time in the get. Let's take a look. These three gittim violate the standards of writing, but only midrabbanan, and therefore, if a woman went ahead and used a get like this, married and had children, the children would not be mamzerim, because the rabbanan were not gozer, that the get should be completely pasul to make the kids mamzerim. So, what are those three? There's a Mishnah that says, it's none, shlosha gittim psulim, but nonetheless, if she gets married, the child is not a mamzer, the child is kosher. Here are the three gittim. The guy writes the get in his own hand, and it has no witnesses on it at all. Or, it has witnesses, but it doesn't have the time. Or, it has the time, but it only has one witness. These three gittim, even though they're pasul midrabbanan, Imni Seit Avlat Kosher. And on this case, comes along Rabbi Elazar and says, you don't need signatures, for God's sakes, you're making yourself crazy. Afa Pishen Elevatim at all. All you need is that a get should be given in front of witnesses. Elashenat Nula Bifne Edim Kosher. Not only is it kosher, but you can even use it to collect your ksuva with. For financial matters, it's a 100% go with it get that works on every level, financial, proof, performative gerushin, and therefore you see that he holds that we don't need it, as he explains. She'ein adim chotimim ala get. The only reason that we have witnesses signing on a get is to help a woman out. It's a good etza. It's not a din. It's tikkun olam. We want life to be better for women, so we tell them, listen, get your get signed. Because that way, in the case of a vicious husband, you will be better protected with signatures that you don't have to go running around to find the Edei Mesira. So it's all Mipnei Tikkun HaElam. So who the heck requires both ketiva and chatima? There's no such shita. So Rabbah doesn't even make any sense. He was basing the whole idea, well, why do you need both ketiva and chatima if it isn't about lishma? Got news for you, Rabbah. Nobody holds you need both ketiva and chatima lishma. So now your whole explanation falls to pieces. All right. Wonderful. We will go over once again, Bezrat Hashem, Amitzoy Shabbos, all of these questions and try to get perfectly clear why we haven't found someone who holds you need both Ketiva and Chatima Lishma. But as you can see, the plot thickens. And as it thickens, the issues become more and more concrete, clear, and exciting. Yes, indeed. So as I say, stand by for the next exciting episode of Befanai Nechtav or Befanai Nechtam.